This is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. Are you up there? Yoo-hoo! British Columbia. Are you rainy as we are? Anyway, Squamish, Sydney, Robin, Omaha, Tessa, and Sev in Seashell. Susan, east side of New York. And Bob and Viv on the west, and Donnie in Long Beach. And a big shout out to little Lena, who's not so little anymore, and Stephanie and Al in Wyoming, and to all of you who are listening. It's time for Arts Live and Local, January 24th. Thanks for being here, folks, on this warm, It was 54 degrees in Brownsmead and 50 degrees in Astoria when I got here. And the rain comes and goes. The property is in Brownsmead are all flooding, but we're doing just fine. Just be careful if you are over on the Washington side, especially over by on Highway 4. I believe it is closed. Ah, here's some. Well, no, this, I'm sure you'll hear about it. But if you're planning to drive Highway 4, don't. Take the ferry instead. It's running 24/7 to Westport. Stay tuned for Arts Live and Local. And today, I wanted to dedicate the show to all people who are going through or who have gone through trauma, violent trauma caused by other people who are also going through trauma. The 27th of January is the 75th anniversary of the liberation of Auschwitz and Birkenau. Here's some music that I heard at the Water Music Festival. That's a piece by Sándor Kuti, 1908 to 1945, Serenade for String Trio. This is on an album called Silenced Voices by the Black Oak Ensemble. I've been playing little bits of it over time. It's an extraordinary album, and it has a history which you can find out about. You check on Black Oak Ensemble, who does lots of gorgeous music. This is on the Cedilla label, C-E-D-I-L-L-E, in Chicago. And it's an album of music. Almost all of the pieces were composed by artists, musicians, who died in the Holocaust. One of the musicians did survive, but the others all died. And it's an incredible tribute to the power of music and of art that goes on way beyond our lives. And I have a couple of guests here who are from the Water Music Society, and they're here to talk about a fabulous event that they are presenting. It's happening in February. You got lots of time, almost exactly a month from today. You have lots of time to put it on your calendar, to get your tickets, but I'm going to let them tell you about it. I'll start out, however, with some music. And you can see, perhaps you'll recognize it and figure out what this, I'll give you a hint, Italian opera, but you have to figure out who the composer is. Okay, folks, you had your chance. Now, you got it? Okay, I'll introduce my guests and they'll let you know what you've been listening to and why. Diane Marshall is here and Susan Spence. Greetings.
Thank you. Hi.
Hi. Nice to see you.
Nice to see you. Mm-hmm. And especially because you're... Once again, the Water Music Society is going to bring us something very fabulous and exciting. So what's happening and what were we just playing, as if we don't all know? Well, we don't. Not everybody knows opera, but if they're smart and they live here, they have a chance to get to know it.
Well, I can't imagine that maybe there are people who have not at least heard that aria. It's probably one of the most famous arias ever written and sung. It was Pavarotti's signature piece, so that's the artist that people probably have heard the most. And it is Nessun Dorma from the opera Turandot by Puccini. And the afternoon will feature all Puccini operas, beautiful arias from mostly La Boheme, and this one is from Turandot. They might have one or two arias from Madame Butterfly, but okay. All Puccini.
Who's, I don't know which question to ask first, whose choice was it to feature Puccini? Was it the artists or was it you folks? And then who are the artists? Even though we were all singing along in the studio, we are not the featured. You'll be happy to know the featured artists.
Thank goodness.
Tell us.
Well, we went last year. Two years ago. The Astoria Music Festival had done a Viennese opera aria event at the Bridgewater, and we attended and loved it. It was such a magical time to have the beautiful views of the Bridgewater, looking out over the Columbia and listening to these fabulous arias. But we like Italian desserts. And we love Italian opera.
See, folks, wait. Let's just stop right there. Desserts, the plot thickens.
Oh,
okay.
It does.
Oh, yes. And the music, too.
And
right,
the music,
of course.
And the whipping cream thickens.
Yeah. That's great.
So it became a goal to have Italian opera and Italian desserts in the Bridgewater. And Diane found these fabulous artists.
Okay. Who are they?
Well, two of them are from Eugene. And one is from Portland. The soprano is Carrie Burgess, and she actually was part of the opera mentoring program here this last year for the Astoria Music Festival. A wonderful soprano.
Well, the Astoria Apprentice Program is happening this year. I'm not sure what else, so who knows?
I don't know if she's... She might be coming back. And then David Gustafson, and my recollection is that he has been here before, but I'm not
familiar.
And he is a magnificent tenor. Maybe not Pavarotti, but he's absolutely wonderful. And then the pianist is John Jancy, also from Eugene, who is a wonderful organist and pianist, accompanist, but a soloist in his own right. And I've known him for years, ever since I lived in Eugene for so many years. And so I got a hold of him.
Oh, wow. Did they know each other?
Oh, yeah. Well, they work together all the time.
Eugene isn't that big a city.
Well, it's pretty big, but...
not for opera.
It has a fabulous opera company. Fabulous.
Yes.
And so he said, sure, we can put that together with David as tenor and Carrie the soprano. And we said, well, we want it to be Italian because we thought it would be fun to have Prosecco and other non-alcoholic drinks. And then the desserts are going to be cannoli, tiramisu, and biscotti.
And
how does it get better than that?
And who is making these desserts?
Oh. Anne and her team at the Bridgewater Bistro.
Anne and Tony Kishner, who are good friends and maybe even family of a lot of us in this
and
area.
And Susan's sister.
Oh, yes, that's the family.
Oh, by the way.
Right, but actually, you weren't involved in the choosing of the Bridgewater originally, were you, when they did the Viennese?
No, that was just a wonderful event that we attended.
Right. It is nice to have a few
Anne and Tony have been such supporters of water music. Anne, in fact, was the president of Water Music Festival.
Excellent.
Many moons ago.
Isn't it
for
nice?
Quite a long time.
It's lovely when your people move out in space and you can kind of pull them back in every once in a while. Well, for those of you who are not from Astoria or this area, what was mentioned, I think Susan mentioned the view, it's sitting right on the Columbia River with huge windows. And so it's not Venice, but it could be. We could be in it.
But this isn't Venetian music. This will be Venice, Italy.
Venice, that's
the Grand
what I mean.
Canal.
Venice,
they can pretend it's
exactly.
the Grand Canal.
Exactly. So, you know, you mentioned that Eugene has an opera company. Well, you know, we now have our own opera company. It happened to have come from Eugene. It's the Cascadia Chamber Opera, Barinas Jones Centeno. And one of her aims is to get opera out there. And in doing that, she often has the operas done in English so that people can understand. And when we're in not a place like Bridgewater, but like at the Liberty Arts, the Performing Arts Center, there'll be a screen even when it's in English because sometimes it's hard to understand the words. But again, You don't have to worry about that if you're eating, drinking, and making merry, looking at the view and listening to magnificent music. Mm-hmm. So how do people get in on this? What are they, can they get tickets?
They should go to watermusicsociety.com.
Okay.
And buy their tickets
in advance.
Online. It's through Brown Paper Tickets.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we don't do prices. Diane knows that. She's on all the time. So she just gives you the contact.
But the price of the ticket does include the Prosecco and the desserts as well.
Right. So it's, it sounds like an absolute treat. Now, what's the dress code for this affair?
Well, Carol, I think you should come in something like a long gown.
Of course. And trip and all of the... Oh, wait, no. This is happening February 23rd. It's a Sunday afternoon, 3 p.m., but the doors open at 2:30. Mm-hmm. Now, it could easily sell out, so it is a good idea to get your tickets in advance. But how does seating work? Is it first come, first serve, or...
If you have a larger party, you can reserve a table.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So that way your whole group can be put together. And then after that, we'll just bring people in as a sort of a festival seating. There isn't a bad seat in the house, and the acoustics are fabulous at the Bridgewater.
Yes.
So it won't be, there will be no place that will feel like you're in the balcony.
No, I was thinking about people sitting together. So people can buy a block.
Mm-hmm.
So get together with your friends and get ready for this extraordinary event. Now, is this the first time that Water Music Society is doing this event? Because you have the Water Music Festival, and then you have Music in the Gardens. Mm-hmm. You have Jazz and Oysters. Oh, yes. And, of course, the Christmas concert. That's four. So this is now the fifth, and I'm sure it's going to be fabulous, and you'll do it again next year. You might have to change it. She's shaking her head.
Well, yeah, we'll see how it goes this year, but we love the idea of it.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's opera, I don't want anybody to be scared away if they think, I'm not really fond of opera. These are simply beautifully sung arias and duets, solos and duets. The same as if Frank Sinatra was singing New York, New York. Well, he'll be in an Italian.
and a better voice. Oh, did I say that?
No. Well, that's up to the individual.
Yes,
but
of
really,
course.
It just will be a lovely afternoon.
The thing is, a lot of people assume or presume they don't like opera because of all the trappings. And in fact, I find it a lot of fun. I used to usher when I was in college. I ushered so that I could watch opera. So, but indeed, it's just good music and happening February 23rd, Sunday, 3 to 4:30. Go to watermusicsociety.com and get your tickets or peruse the website and see what else is happening. Diane and Susan are from the peninsula. The Water Music Festival and all the events we mentioned take place on the peninsula. What made you decide to come here?
We wanted to reach out to the people in Astoria to have them start coming to our events over on the peninsula, and we thought this would be a good way for people to get to know about Water Music Society over here.
Nice.
And to see what we can offer them.
Nice.
Just as a way to expand their possibilities for music venues.
Well, yeah, because we do consider ourselves one community,
mm-hmm.
Joined by the river, not separated unless the bridge is closed, in which case it's another story. But I think that's a great idea.
Mm-hmm. So, and besides, Tony and Anne's restaurant is in Astoria.
Oh, yeah. So now, it didn't used to be, but it
is
now.
No, it didn't. They used to be on the peninsula.
That's right. So, okay, well, thank you so much for coming in. And I should, just since Susan doesn't get here very often, I should give a little tip of the hat that Susan Spence is a basketry diva. Since we're in the music world, I will say that. And what do you make your baskets out of?
I make baskets out of recycled crab fishing rope. That the rope gets retired from fishing after a few years, and there's a lot of it out there. So this is my one little way to keep some of it out of a landfill and to try to create something that people can bring into their homes and will remind them of our beautiful community.
So how can people see some of your baskets?
Come to the opera event. Oh. There are lots of her baskets in the Bridgewater.
Oh, that's a good one.
Nice plug.
Yeah.
And also at Marie Powell Gallery in Iwako.
Okay. Iwako. Do you have a website or not?
Yeah. Oh, beachbaskets.net. Get it? Net.
Oh, that's cute. Okay. Well, that's pretty simple. Okay. Thank you so much. And I do have a little more Puccini for folks in case you couldn't remember the name, the pea guy, you know. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Carol.
Oh, okay. It's a pleasure.
Fortunata macchina.
Yeah. Puccini arias. And that was from La Bohème, Che gelida m'anima. Yeah. That's going to be fun. Definitely fun. And we are the lucky ones who live here, and hopefully wherever you live, there's also fabulous things going on, because we need all these things, especially these days. And I'll say no more. What I will tell you, however, is I have three fabulous writers, editors. What else? What else do you guys do for Rain Magazine?
I'm a taxidermist.
Oh, well, yeah, you are. She is.
Graphic designers.
Graphic designers, right.
And Lindsay's actually our first taxidermist that we've had on staff.
She's mine.
So we're excited about that.
How does the taxidermy interface with Rain?
So I just got done with an art show at the Secret Gallery, and so I've got some really awesome photos. Yeah, and so the photos will be in there.
Yes. Yeah. Now, I've known Lindsay for many years, and as many folks know, dead animals are not my favorite thing, especially to kill or eat.
Yeah.
But Lindsay does neither of those. Am I correct?
Yeah, definitely.
Where do you get your animals?
Roadkill only, mostly. Sometimes cats will bring them, but usually it's a...
But you don't hire cats to go out and
do
this.
I don't.
You don't even encourage them. No. So, so you've taken photographs, and mm-hmm. those are going to be in Rain?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I did see the show.
Yeah.
Some wonderful.
Pretty cute.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll dress
them up. This is not your normal taxidermy, folks. So next time, let's go back to Rain, because that's what you need to do, is come to the reading when it happens, and maybe Ryan knows when it's going to happen, maybe not.
Oh, gosh, I wish.
but we will tell you here, and maybe he'll come back. We'll talk about it then.
Sure.
And then you'll see the photos there. Now, so that's Lindsay Pritchard, who...
Lindsay Bones.
You weren't... Bones, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
That's right. Your official name is Lindsay Bones. Were you born here?
I wasn't born here, but I moved here when I was 9.
Right. Okay. And Beth, do you have another name?
Beth or Elizabeth is normally what I choose to go by.
Okay. Beth Winters is here, one of our local poets, whom, if you've been in many places, you've probably heard, including right here on KMUN, giving us some of your poetry. Do you have poetry in the magazine this year?
Well, haven't submitted anything, but I have a good feeling about it. I might get a few pieces in. You know, I'll probably do some poetry, but I'm also thinking of entering a short story that I've written recently.
Nice.
Cool.
Nice. Did you just start writing short stories, or have you been doing both all along?
Oh, I write a short story here and there, but for the most part, I just have a lot of really great concepts, but it's hard to get them onto paper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, Beth is a local, also from the Washington side. Were you born there, or did you come?
No, I actually was born in an apartment in Seattle.
Okay.
I was actually one of those surprise babies.
Aha! The stork, I'm sure.
Yeah, oh, of course.
Of course. And so how old were you when you came here, Dee?
Well, my dad had a house out in Altoona, but I was living with my mom in Seattle till I was about 2 or 3. And then when I was 3, we moved to a beautiful house in Owako. And that's where I've been since.
Excellent. And then we have the non-local. Am I right? Ryan Hume?
Correct.
Are you from here? No.
No. No, I'm not. I've been here for about almost 7 years now.
Right. Where did you come from?
Well, if we're going birth story-wise, I was born in San Francisco.
Okay.
Also a surprise baby. But it was the 70s, so my parents thought, you know, that I was 3 weeks late, so they had made a lot of plans. The night before I was actually born, I was at a George Benson concert.
Wow.
In my mom's belly.
Wow, in utero. Wow.
And then my mom broke water at the Tutankhamun exhibit.
Wow.
In 1979.
That's a fabulous pre-birth experience. Now,
I like to think. Right?
I'm thinking. Well, and since then, has your life been as?
3 weeks after that, we moved to Texas.
Oy. Oh, I mean, how nice.
Yeah. I don't remember any of all of this, okay. But this is what they tell me.
They tell you. Well, we are very happy you decided to come here as an adult, and you are the. May I say this, head honcho at Rain Magazine these days?
I like to think of it a different way where, you know, you're talking to the head honchos here.
I see. Okay.
And I am their facilitator. I pick up the things that fall down.
Are you faculty?
They're my boss. You know?
He knows if he tried to take the reins, I'd stage a coup.
You'd stage
exactly,
a coup.
Exactly.
I can imagine with these two women, you... Yeah.
Well, and
you don't
and there's
want
like,
to.
We're seven strong.
Okay.
The rest aren't here, but they have the final say so on a variety of these things.
So, are you faculty at the college? Because
I'm
or how does adjunct?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I remember. Rain Magazine is though still part of the college.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you use the facilities and...
Oh, very much.
Yeah.
And CCC is actually really, really supportive of Rain Magazine. So
good. And how long has it been
lucky.
Going?
Forever.
Pretty much. Well, all of your lives. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. More than all of our lives, actually. This will be our 51st annual issue.
Wow. That's right, because
that
last
together.
Year was the 50th. And... one of the reasons they are here is that?
Yes. So, you know, why not enter the next half century of Rain Magazine without a few snafus?
So, what a concept.
Correct. Yeah. A few things went on. We're here more or less just to make sure that every person knows that they can submit to Rain Magazine.
Right.
And to do that, you would type out Rain Magazine at clatsopcc.edu. And we extended our deadline. There were some issues with press releases. Unfortunately, these things happen. And they did not get out a few months ago when they should have.
Mm-hmm.
We've done a lot of community outreach. And honestly... you know, I'm trying not to look at it as a bad thing. It's actually made us look at different organizations.
So what,
and
yeah, and what you're talking about is the call to artists, basically.
Correct.
Yeah. Didn't get out, and it was...
Which it should have, which is
which
unfortunate.
It should have, and you thought it did. It's kind of like
we
being
did.
3 weeks late. Maybe
I know.
Ryan, maybe... maybe this is genetic or something, you know?
Oh, gotcha.
You know,
okay. All right. We're bringing it all back together. I see. Yeah.
So bottom line is that you, whoever you are. Now, I shouldn't say that. I better let you folks tell. What are the qualifications to be in Rain Magazine? Do you have to be affiliated with the college? Do you have to live in Oregon? Tell us. What's...
We prefer if the contributors are currently living.
Good. That helps.
And are able to send us a submission.
Okay.
And that's about that. Mm-hmm.
So it could be someone from France or New York or...
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't realize that.
It's okay. Nice to have some local artists contribute, but of course, we're all inclusive.
Great. correct.
I did not know that.
This is the fourth year I've kind of been overseeing it. And when I first started, I had a real sense that it had to be very, very local. But then over the number of years, you get a sense that people are just kind of taken by this place. You know, the North Coast, and the other side of the river. Mm-hmm. And maybe they're just on vacation or something like mm-hmm. that. But they really register something about the area. So we have started to take that kind of work nice. As well. And
nice. So if someone is listening and their family or friends visited, yep. they can send this on. Now, is this is the call for submissions at this website that you just mentioned, or is it anywhere, or should how does someone get in touch?
Well, we do take questions. Mail, yeah, just regular snail mail for
okay.
sure. But the majority of our submissions do come
through
digitally.
This.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's Rain Magazine at Clatsop. That's CLATSOPCC .edu. Okay. If somebody would research Rain Magazine, Astoria, Oregon, would they get here, do you think?
Well, I hope so.
Okay, because if somebody's driving, if somebody's driving right now, I don't want them to try writing this down.
Oh, fair enough, yeah.
The Clatsop no, CC.
Honestly, yeah, if you Google Rain Magazine CCC, you should get to the right place.
Good.
There is okay. a Rain magazine that opened, I would say, 30 years after we did in New York.
Of all the noise.
And they hold the Twitter account, so I don't want to get into that.
Yeah. Okay, so we're going to focus here. So that's Ryan Hume, and you've been hearing from Beth Winters and Lindsay Bones. Why are you involved? Is this a course at the college, accredited course at the college?
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yeah. So. Yeah. It's a 4-credit course. Right now I'm taking 16 credits at the college this term. But Rain Magazine is super awesome. It's probably one of my favorite classes.
What do you get to do in addition to providing your own work?
We get to read other people's journals and art and go through it and just kind of and talk about it and how it impacts us and if it's in or it's out or in a maybe group and go from there.
So you seven of the ones mm-hmm. who make that decision. Do you mm-hmm. read these things blind?
Do you mean without? Do you mean without the author's
without
name?
Names.
It depends on what the author wants to do. So if they uh-huh. do not put a name on it, yes, we read it blind. Also, the students are, most of you guys are contributing, correct?
Correct.
Yeah. Nice.
And so it's up to them. I give them the option if they want to use a pseudonym
uh-huh. mm-hmm.
or something like that
right.
and get like a workshop sense of that.
Right. So others will be looking at it and talking about it without worrying about hurting your feelings.
Correct.
Yeah.
Or, but it's also a good idea because that means that everyone we're actually talking about, whether they're in the room or not,
mm-hmm.
they could be in the room.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And
exactly. Oh, good point. Yeah. Good point. You never know who your next door
exactly.
person is. This might yeah. be the world's, you know, next. So be gentle and
yeah.
kind.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Doesn't mean you can't make a joke, but you know.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
So now how, when it's time for the reading, how much time does it usually take you? If the deadline is February 15th, how many months do you spend going through the material? And
well, it has to be put out by the end of winter quarter, and we're on 10 quarter semesters, so early March?
Quarters, yeah.
Quarters, yeah.
Okay, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, folks, this is your time. We've got three of the seven here, and I don't know who the others are, but we don't need to know right now. What we need to know is that you, the listeners, realize that there's a deadline of February 15th. That's plenty of time. Yeah, 3 weeks. So get your submissions in, and I will give a personal testimony to the readings that happen once this magazine is published. It's a beautiful publication, and we get to all come together. And many of the readers come from all over the place and read their own or show their own original work that went into the magazine. It's a very celebratory evening. So I look forward to that. So thank you for doing the work, Lindsay Bones, Beth Winters, or Elizabeth Winters, and Ryan Hume.
Thanks, Carol.
Rain Magazine at clatsopcc.edu. Okay, folks, I have one more guest coming in, but she's speaking on behalf of a bunch of folks. But first, I wanted to play this again for Holocaust Remembrance Day. This is KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook. Carol here.
Die Nacht ist ruhig gestellt und der Frost, er hat gebrennt. Sie gedenkst du, wie ich hab dich gelernt, hab noch Speier in die Hand. Sie gedenkst du, wie ich hab dich gelernt, hab noch Speier in die Hand. Am Mond a Pelz und a Beret und halt in Hand fest an a Gang.
You're listening to Rosalie Garut, Songs of Remembrance, Hope, and Celebration. We are here. And that is Still die Nacht, Still the Night. Well, the other night, I had a great time. Actually, you know, I went to the Workers' Tavern. And I think I was there when it was just changing hands. And we all got to go in and look at the place and see the back and all that kind of, I don't think I've been there since. So my guest is Diana Kirk. Hi, Diana.
Hi, Carol.
And you are the proprietor.
I am the proprietess of Workers' Tavern. I am the owner for about a little over 2 years now. My husband and I bought the building, the 7 apartments, and the bar.
Okay.
And we've rehabbed it, all the apartments. Now they're all rented out to employees in town.
Great.
Yeah.
And the place looks terrific.
It does.
Feels terrific. And that night was especially, well, maybe it's like that all the time.
Well, but we were packed to the gill when you were there the other night. It was standing room only. It was fantastic.
Yeah. I got lucky. I saw a seat with stuff on it, and I said to the guy, Nick, is that seat taken? And he moved all his stuff off. Well, he turned out to be the...
One of the stars, actually, of the slammers,
yes,
yeah, on Wednesday night.
He did.
Yeah.
So what we're talking about is the Pacific Story Slam. And last year, I got to talk to one of the other tavern owners who's participating in this. I'm going to let Diana tell you everything that's going on. But and they kept it going for a while, I understand.
Yeah,
at Maggie's on the Prom.
Yeah, it started there last year at Maggie's on the
but
Prom. Sadie started it.
She tells me that you said, hey, why don't we all do this?
Well, it actually starts with a story because this is a story slam, which is that I went down there to compete in it because I tell stories already.
Yes.
And I had heard about it on the radio that they were doing the story slam. So I headed down there and I ended up winning the night that I competed in, and which meant I got to go to the championships. And at the championships, there were 12 of us competing against each other, and I should have won. But I lost to the mayor of Seaside.
Oh.
And I said, oh, so
wait
this is
a minute.
Yeah, so this is how you play it in Seaside. You bring your stories up to Astoria and we'll show you actually how to tell a story. So I approached Maggie, one of the owners of Sadie from Maggie's on the Prom. Maggie's a cat. And
yes.
Said, why don't we try to make this bigger? And then I am really good friends with Carla from North Beach Tavern, and I invited her to it, and she didn't really know what it was about. We started meeting in August, trying to figure out how we can do Long Beach versus Astoria versus Seaside, and this was what we came up with, a 9-week story slam competition where every week for one night, our bar has a story slam in it with a winner. And then those winners for the 9 weeks will compete against each other in our bar at the semifinals. And then the four top winners from the semifinals will go to Fort George on April 10th for the Grand Slam $500 prize.
Whoa.
Yeah.
We're
there's actual money.
Serious. Oh my
We're
goodness.
Getting money involved.
Yeah.
And then the person gets a trophy because what is life without trophies, but not as shiny.
Now, didn't you give a trophy, a mini trophy the other night?
Well, we don't like to call it mini. Oh, we like to call it a trophy. Size doesn't matter, Carol.
Of course.
So, yeah, you win a trophy for each night you perform.
Do you get to keep that trophy?
You get to keep that trophy and a gift certificate for that bar each week if you win.
Wow.
Yeah, and then the best part, though, is you get the bragging rights.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the real best part was it was a blast. And I want to put out there, though, because there were some people who hesitated and said, well, I'm not funny. And it doesn't have to be funny at all.
Oh, absolutely doesn't have to be funny. No. A great story is not always funny. They can be sad. They can just be, I don't know, a moment of an epiphany, enlightenment, mm-hmm. or something. A lot of them are funny because, truly, we do some embarrassing things in life which mm-hmm. come out in stories.
Actually, we do have one of the winners.
Yes.
One of the slammers who won. He was also my neighbor who...
At the slam, you were sitting next to him.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't even think he'd gone up yet by the time.
No.
You didn't know he was going to perform.
No, I had no idea.
Well, quite frankly, I didn't know he was going to perform either because he is actually one of my shy bartenders from my own bar. And I had no idea this was going to come out.
How
I was literally
cool.
shocked because I teach story slam classes. And I'm teaching a class this Sunday at Astoria Library from 3 to 5, how to tell a 5-minute story. And when you leave, you'll be ready to compete at any one of our bars this week.
Can anyone come?
Anyone can come, yeah. Anyone.
But there is an age thing because it's
well,
a bar?
My bar is 21 and over, and North Beach Tavern is 21 and over, but Maggie's on the Prom is not. And the Grand Slam will be at Fort George,
so
anybody is invited.
Either.
Yeah.
Okay.
So come to the class. It's really fun. We had 13 people come last week to the class in Long Beach, and five of those competed on Monday night at North Beach Tavern, and one of them came in third place.
Wow.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And the way it works is you just, like, the reason you didn't know he was going to compete is he just put his name in the hat.
He just put his name in the hat, and then we call you randomly, and you get up. You have 5 minutes to tell a story. We give you a little warning when you have a minute left to wrap up your story. It has to be in first person. You cannot bring notes. This is a story that you're just telling kind of off the cuff. But the most important thing is it's in first person, and it is your story.
And it's supposed to be a true story.
Yes, it's supposed to be a true story. But as we know in life, the more a story is told,
yeah,
the more it's slightly...
A little morphing.
Right, because memory is very elusive there.
Right, and the winners are chosen by everybody who's there.
Yeah, the more people you bring, the higher your chance of winning, because they can raise your GPA
exactly.
Or your average is what we're talking about. But
if you're wondering, who is this Diana Kirk I'm talking to? She was a guest here, I don't remember how long ago.
A couple years ago when my book came out, yeah.
Yeah, and the name of your book, please?
Licking Flames, Tales of a Half-Assed Hussy. So yeah, I'm quite experienced in the storytelling. I like to tell people I'm a professional story listener and a professional storyteller now that I own a bar.
That's great. Love it. Well, here's a story by Payne.
By Payne, yeah.
And we were all delighted, for full disclosure.
I was very proud.
I voted for him.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go, folks. Enjoy. We'll be right back at you.
So my first flight. So it wasn't technically my first flight. I grew up in an airline family. It was my first initial training flight with an airline called TWA. I believe that there are people in this room who have heard of that airline. And, okay, so the airline is Transworld Airlines. And, or we like to call it Tramps, Whores, and Alcoholics, or Try Walking Asshole, or something like that. But I remember my first initial training flight. And I remember being a little kid, growing up in an airline family, and seeing flight attendants walk through the airport, and they looked so glamorous in their beautiful uniforms, carrying their little bag behind them. My dream job was to be a flight attendant. So here I am in New York City from Portland, you know, this back in the early 90s, and I am wearing my Ralph Lauren uniform, and I get to go on a flight from, they're going to ferry me on a flight from New York to Boston, and then from Boston, I'm going to take an L-1011 to Seattle. So an L-1011 is an aircraft that's made that was made by Lockheed, and now Lockheed just does contracts for the government for military aircraft. And this was an incredible aircraft. What is so incredible about this aircraft is it could literally land in a hurricane. So what I didn't know is that there were nicknames for this aircraft as well, like L-1011, or 10 times out of 11, they don't leave the gate. Okay, so I'm ready to board my flight, and there is a regular crew on the flight as well, and we are shadowing them, and everything seems to be going fine. And then we get four chimes. Four chimes is a signal for an all call. And what that is the captain telling all the flight attendants that there is an issue aboard the aircraft. And the issue is that we are going into severe turbulence and to be prepared for clear air turbulence. Clear air turbulence is where an aircraft can literally go up or down a mile in a matter of seconds. What does that happen? What does that look like when you're on the airplane? Well, weightlessness. So I am in the middle of doing a meal service, and I'm on the meal cart, the second meal cart. There's a beverage cart, a meal cart, and another meal cart. And I'm on the middle meal cart. I think we all remember when they had meals on airplanes, right? And they were free? Okay. So all of a sudden, we hit clear air turbulence. And my cart and myself bounce up about 2 feet. I touch the ceiling and then land back down. And everything seems fine. And I grew up in an airline family, and I've never, ever had turbulence like this before. And I turn to my instructor, and the airplane right now is vibrating. And I say to her, is this aircraft going to hold together? Not realizing that there are passengers around me. And she says, yes, you're totally fine, don't worry about it. And then we get another call, and this time it's from the captain. And he says, flight attendants, take the first immediate seat. And at that point, something happened. And my immediate reaction was to put my hand over my mouth. And when I put my hand over my mouth, the vomit from my stomach sprayed out both sides. It did not stop there. It continued for three rows. So, the most glamorous point about being a flight attendant is walking through the airport. And I actually was in the bathroom covered in vomit when the plane landed. That was my first impression of my first flight.
So what do you think, folks? We loved it.
Such a great
We're
story.
Still laughing. I have to say that this would not, Diana would not be here, nor would Payne, without Cindy Price. A big shout out
can't thank
and
her
thank
enough.
You
yeah.
to Cindy for her conception of getting this on the air. Last week, I read about it in the paper, so I announced that it was right. happening. But Cindy,
you got to really
contact.
Hear them to understand.
Yeah,
yeah.
yeah.
And Cindy was there last night too at the Story Slam in Seaside.
Right. She said she had such a good time yeah. in Astoria. So it's going to be happening for how much longer?
It's 9 weeks. 1 week is down now, so we have 8 weeks left next. And workers actually has some celebrity hosts as well. Oh. There's going to be. Public Emily number one, Emily Rivera. She's a stand-up comedian in town. There's going to be Ginger Vitus.
Okay.
There's going to be Cindy Price will be a host, as
okay.
well as Judith Nylan from the Playhouse.
Oh, great.
Yeah, so
nice.
Look up Pacific Story Slam on Facebook, and all the directions and how the system works is on there on Facebook.
Fantastic. And we're going to try to get the others back. So Monday is in Seaview at the
Seaside.
Seaside, yeah. sorry. No. Seaside
Monday
is Maggie.
North Beach Tavern in Long Beach.
North Beach Tavern in Long Beach.
Yeah.
Seaview. Okay. And that's Monday?
Monday's at 6:30.
6:30. Wednesday in Astoria at the Workers'
7
Tavern.
7 o'clock.
At 7. And then Thursday at Maggie's
on,
Maggie's
the prom
on the prom
at 6 o'clock.
6 o'clock. Okay, uh-huh. folks. So you better check it out so you know when to go. But and your class is this Sunday.
This Sunday at the Astoria Library, 3 to 5. And then the Seaside Library is the following Sunday from 3 to 5 as well. Everyone's welcome. It's free. Show up. Think of a story, and we'll get you ready to get up on stage.
And it is really fun. And the audience is so supportive. Couldn't be
and
better.
And we have to have them because they're the voters. Without
That's
them,
right.
we can't do this.
That's right. Remember, if you bring your friends, you might have,
you
more,
might have a better
more
chance.
Likely. Thanks so much for coming in.
Thank
Thanks
you so
for
much,
doing
girl.
This.
I
Thanks,
it.
Cindy. Thanks, Payne. And I'm looking forward to more of this happening. Let me tell you what else is going on in our neighborhood. Tonight starts the last weekend of Betrayal, Harold Pinter's Betrayal. Excellent production. It's at the 1015 Theater at 7:15 Friday and Saturday and 2:15 on Sunday. That's 1015 Commercial. Beautiful place. Pickled Fish is featuring The Desert Kind Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then Pretty Gritty is going to be in Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Manzanita Lighthouse has Melissa Crispo tonight. Coaster is happening too, but I'll see if I can get that for you. Meanwhile, tomorrow we have the Hoffman has the Greenpeace Art. That's P-I-E-C-E. I actually was there two days ago for Liz Cole's piece. It was fantastic. But the art is wonderful. That's at 1. And then at 7:30, they have film shorts, Portland film shorts. Astoria Studio Collective, Bob Pyle and Florence Sage are giving a poetry workshop from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. The Eye, the Ear, the Page, the Mic, Writers Guild production. Astoria Studio Collective, 372 10th. It's 10th and Duane. Southwester has Johnny Fracco. Windlass Kite Festival, Bob Chisholm Community Center, Learn the Ukulele, Pacific Coast Brewing, Bar Cape Buckaroos, and Sand Dune Pub. Kina, Lynn, and Matt Franzen, Labor Temple, Grunge, and Alternative Rock. Sunday, Fort George has Hemlock. The Liberty Theater has an Annie sing-along at 6:10 p.m. Monday, Astoria Library Film and Huga. And then on Tuesday...